I have no idea how to explain our first reading unless it is the case that Jesus Christ truly rose from the dead and that the Holy Spirit was poured forth upon the apostles at Pentecost. I say that because here we have St. Peter, the man who on Holy Thursday night denied three times that he even knew Jesus. Weak, fearful, cowardly, he ended up a heap of tears outside the high priest's house that night. And yet now, not long after, he's proclaiming boldly in the temple the resurrection of Christ. And he's not pulling any punches as he speaks to this crowd of the Jews there at the temple, this very crowd that had cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Peter says to them, "You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life, you put to death." Where does that boldness come from, if not from an encounter with the risen Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit? Peter accused so clearly and bluntly the Jews of their sin. But our catechism points out that we who live 2,000 years later can't place the blame solely on the shoulders of the Jews in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Catechism teaches us that all Christians, all sinners, are the authors of Christ's passion. And it goes on to say that, in fact, we Christians bear an even greater responsibility, for we cannot plead ignorance, like St. Peter excused the Jews based on their ignorance in our first reading. In the gospel today, Jesus appeared to the apostles in the upper room, and he showed them his wounds. This is interesting. Christ is risen from the dead, but he still bears his wounds. Why did he show his wounds to the apostles? Well, certainly, first of all, to prove that it's truly him. The wounds in his hands and his feet identify him as the one who died on the cross, but who now lives. But even more than this, I think, our Lord wanted to remind the apostles of the consequences of their sins. C.S. Lewis once wrote a letter to his friend Sheldon Van Auken, in which he speaks about a tragedy in his friend's life, and he calls it a severe mercy. A severe mercy. It's a fascinating idea. The Lord enlightens us about our responsibility for his wounds on the cross. He wants all of us to recognize that we are complicit in what happened on Good Friday. But he does so not out of a desire to condemn us. He does so out of a severe mercy. Because it's in recognizing our complicity in the cross that we also come to see the depths of God's love and the truth that salvation and healing is found in those very wounds. He and he alone, because he died and rose again, can save us from our sins. He and he alone can promise us something more than the passing, fleeting pleasures of this life. He and he alone can give us eternal life. When I was a senior in high school, I attended a weekend retreat as part of a youth group. And when I came home from that retreat on that Sunday night, I prayed in my room before I went to bed. And I will never forget the experience of my prayer that night. Because out of nowhere, it seemed to me, I was overwhelmed as I looked at the crucifix that hung above my bed by this sense of my own responsibility for Christ's suffering. The fact that he was on the cross because of me and for me. It was for me an experience of that severe mercy of the Lord. And it filled me not with this terrifying fear of condemnation, but with the recognition that I need Christ. And that in fact, I owe him everything. That, my friends, is what we celebrate in this Easter season. Christ crucified and risen has made definitively a claim on our lives. We owe everything to him. We need him. And that should be our attitude above all when we come here to Mass. If I come to Mass with that attitude, Lord, I need you. And I give myself totally to you because your death on the cross and your resurrection from the dead has placed a claim on my life. Then we will be open to the outpouring of grace that flows from this altar day after day after day. And we will be transformed by our participation here in the Holy Mass. Our second reading today, St. John told us, whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. God made us for perfection in love. It's something that can only happen by his grace. So let us come to him in this Mass, acknowledging our need for him. Expressing to him our desire to offer the whole of ourselves to him so that he can receive us, transform us, and make us perfect in the love of God. Saint Gerard Majella, pray for us.